You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast is being brought to you by Voyage AC.
Hey, while you were down in Mexico last week, you know, I went to the Voyage AC factory and I got this candle that I can't stop smelling. I put it on my nightstand and I'm not exaggerating. It gives me the most beautiful dreams.
Because it smells so good?
Yeah, check this out. It has notes of tobacco and vanilla.
Is that what that is?
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. You know, that would make a good cologne.
Ooh, that's a good idea, hon. We should tell Melanie. Voyage AC is your destination for all these amazing candles. You'll want to go online right now. Check out their amazing Father's Day gifts, too, like shaving cream, facial toner, or maybe Dad would like one of these incredible candles. So, hon, how can our listeners find Voyage AC?
You can find everything on their website at www.voyageac.com. That's VoyageEETCIE.com.
And as you know, Melanie is willing to give my friends and family discount to all our listeners right
what?
Now. Yep, that's 10% off everything you buy.
Yep, and all you need to do is enter the only one at checkout.
That's right. All you have to do is enter the only one when you make your purchase. Voyage AC is an olfactory journey of candles, perfume, and organic beauty products.
This episode is being sponsored by Cute Booty Lounge.
Hey, did you see the response to my workout post last week when I was wearing my new elevated black ice outfit? Which is, by the way, the most comfortable workout gear I've ever owned.
Mm-hmm. You mean the one where you look like a superhero?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I might have caught that. And I really appreciated the way it fit.
Yes, honey. And all these women were like, that outfit, where did you get it?
Yeah, it's nice to be sponsored by a company that we love so much, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is. And that's why I love telling folks about Cute Booty Lounge. Listen to that, Cute Booty Lounge. It's made right here in the USA by women and for women. This company, you guys, it's incredible. It's female and minority owned. And they make your booty look amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Dresses, tops, loungewear, sleepwear, leggings. And their leggings have these super cute patented scrunch butt pockets. There is a cute booty style for everyone. Cute Booty Lounge has you covered. Embrace your body. Love your booty.
Right. And to make it even sweeter, head to cutebootylounge.com and enter the code THEONLYBOOTY to get 15% off your first order.
It's such a great deal.
Yes, get yours now. Head over to cutebootylounge.com and enter the code THEONLYBOOTY to get 15% off your first order.
This kind of hatred towards the LGBTQ community, it was a derivative of an Anglo-Saxon sort of rigidity against it. The idea that anyone should be making themselves small to solve the problem, I think you have to live louder or else no one's ever going to talk about it. We are not going to have these moments where people are actually saying, hey, we need to shine a light on this.
I'm probably one of the few people I know who still looks forward to my Sunday newspaper, not a digital copy that I read on my phone, but the real finger-staining, loud crinkling, section-by-section newspaper. The Sunday paper for me is a treat to be enjoyed while lounging in bed and sipping hot lemon water. So one day when we were going through all of the Only One stories that are being submitted to us, thank you for those, by the way, We love reading them. It was Scott's idea to record and release a few of them occasionally, but always on Sundays, and call them our Sunday edition. And because they're only 30 minutes long, our hope is that you can enjoy them while sipping your morning beverage, going for a walk, or even just enjoying a lazy Sunday at home. Please enjoy today's Sunday edition and be sure to listen every Tuesday when we drop another brand new episode of The Only One in the Room. Travis Coles, do you eat breakfast? Are you a breakfast eater?
I am a breakfast eater. But I'm actually technically a breakfast drinker.
Okay.
Because I make a smoothie.
Yes. What is it?
For breakfast. So my smoothie consists of fruits, vegetables, frozen. Mm-hmm. And then I use this like green spirulina powder. Mm-hmm. And then I add chia seeds, bulletproof collagen, and this peanut butter powder called P-Fit. It's like peanut butter that's less fat, I guess.
Less buttery.
And less buttery.
Yeah.
For me, honestly, it's just easy. It's just powder form.
Right.
And it tastes like peanut butter, so it's easier to mix. And I do all of that with almond milk.
So is it vegan?
You know what?
What?
No, because of the collagen.
Okay. Because that's right. Yeah. Yeah. But no sugar.
No sugar, just from the fruit. Yeah. And I mean, I love it.
Ah, it sounds good. I'll make me one next time you can. Oh, actually, we are eating vegan now, so I couldn't have one. I could have it without the collagen.
We could take the collagen out.
All right. So when I see you next time, I make a smoothie too. We'll exchange, and then you can tell me how you like ours, and I'll tell
I'm a big, big fan of it because it's just a little bit easier for me to prepare.
Oh, yeah. If you freeze all the ingredients beforehand, it's just so easy just to plop them in the blender, right?
I've never had a banana sit on the counter. Right. Every time I buy a banana, I'm not even kidding. Yeah. I chop them up immediately because I know what's going to happen if I let that banana sit for another day. Even if it's 2 days, it's going to go bad.
No,
so
I
have
I don't
to freeze
like that.
It.
Yeah. And they keep so well and they taste so good.
They do,
right? Thank you for that.
Yeah.
I am Laura Cathcart Robbins, and this is The Only One in the Room. But I am never the only one in this room because, as usual, my boyfriend, producer, and co-host, Scott Slaughter, who I call Hun, is here as well.
Hi, honey.
Hey, Hun. So All Black Lives Matter came on my radar last week after it was painted down the center of Hollywood Boulevard here in Los Angeles. So here's how I understand it. The issue on the table is that Black queer people in this country have been hit twice. Being Black and queer in America can be seen as a double threat and not necessarily in a good way. I was surprised to learn how many Black members of the LGBTQ plus community feel like people without a country. They experience racism within the LGBTQ plus community, and they experience prejudice and homophobia from straight cisgender members of the Black community. And now that the George Floyd protests and Pride Month are erupting at the same time, where do our queer Black people stand? How do you know which identifier to fight for first, Black or queer? Here with us today, we are so happy to have Travis Coles. Travis is a prolific actor and comedian. Oh my God, he's so funny. And he has been a long, long time friend of ours, so we want to welcome him to the show. Welcome, Travis.
Thank you all so much. Thank you.
So before we start, Travis, can you tell me how you identify?
I identify as a Black, queer, gender non-conforming. I go by any of the pronouns. So I guess, I haven't really put many labels on it, but it does, queer sounds the best for me. That makes the most sense.
Okay. And so, I was going to ask you about pronouns. So you go by he or she or they, all of those?
Exactly.
Okay. So can we talk about Pride for a minute? I want to know, I mean, I actually know this, but I want you to talk about, I want you to talk about what it is and how it started.
Okay. So Pride is the time that, well, right now it's a lot of people are celebrating their outness. They are proud to be queer, but it started as a protest, a riot at Stonewall.
Which is in New York.
Which is in New York. It was illegal to be a homosexual, and police were killing and arresting and really just taking away, just erasing an entire community of people in New York, and they couldn't do it anymore. And this was started by a riot that was happening at one of the clubs, Stonewall, that the police were barricading, and a Black trans woman threw the first brick, and everyone then followed suit. And it started off as a way to remember how we got anyone to listen to us, basically.
Yeah.
Pride is a reminder that we have to all work together and continue to fight for our rights. That's what it was.
Right. That was Marsha Johnson. She was that.
Oh, yes, Marsha P. Johnson.
Yes, yes. She isn't always remembered, but she should be remembered for starting this. Or she's not always recognized. When you hear Pride, you don't always hear her name. And I think it's important, especially in this context, to remember that Pride was started by an African-American trans woman.
That's in itself something that is quite ironic to me, especially because with the Black Lives Matter movement happening right now, I remember my friend the other day, I was saying, I've experienced more racism in the gay community, the LGBTQ community, than I have living in the South. And that was in West Hollywood.
And I recently
I had gotten into an online dispute with a magazine called Instinct, and they are America's, they say, number one leading gay men's magazine. And they had refused to acknowledge Black Lives Matter during Pride Month. And I remember getting all of my friends who were in the community who had a voice. I was like, please, can you shine a light on this? This is awful.
Right.
This is what I was experiencing in this neighborhood, in this community. Just like, if you're going to say that you care about all of us in this community, you have to acknowledge that there is no diversity or inclusivity within it. And it was really hard to explain because that was a time when people weren't on board with Black Lives Matter. But now they are. And Instinct Magazine, they never did. All they did was put a hashtag on there and they let it be. And they will continue to not have Black people in the media. It's always very sparse, right? And when it is there, and if you look on their website, it's always Black people just sexualized and fetishized.
Well, that's
as
interesting.
We are.
That's almost like with the women's movement, women are sexualized and fetishized in men's media, right? So that the push there was to be seen. So it's a really similar issue.
Well, I was even thinking about this and just in these small, like little aggressions. And okay, so one of the leading industries is pornography, right? And I don't have like any sort of shame about sex. I think we have to get rid of that. But pornography, if you look in gay men's pornography, there are different categories and each one describes a different kind of look for a person. But every single website has Black as an actual, that is a category. It's in itself. It's always separate. You know, it's ebony, it's Black, it's thug. And we have to acknowledge those small things if we're going to, there's so many things.
Yes. Well, I just wanted to give a quote from Billy Porter, who unofficially a spokesperson for the Black queer movement. He says the Black community's relationship with the LGBTQ plus community is appalling at best and eerily similar to that of white supremacists versus Black folks. Do you agree with that?
Oh, well, I'll go into even more detail. The Black community's acceptance of the LGBTQ community is directly from white supremacy and colonialism. I mean, these are things that you have to look up in history. Like, the only reason that African Americans have this idea of a fear of the LGBTQ community is directly related to the fact that Christianity, colonialism, and everything was forced onto our ancestors. Because before that, in Africa, there was no such thing as homophobia or anything. Like, the trans deities were worshipped. You know, these are, I mean, you're gender wasn't even assigned in some cultures until the age of 5. It was a spirit, you know, and until colonialism came over and said, no, we don't like that. And I think it was like King Henry VIII who made it illegal to be gay. He like had the first law that said you would die if you were caught. I think it was like the anti-sodomite law. Okay. But this was all something that was brought over by colonialism. Mm. Now, if you look at that, you have to look at our history in America and realize that once Christianity, once we all settled into that, this is the awful truth, we then settled into this idea of a hetero patriarchy in which cisgender men decided that it was okay to be sexist as long as they had some form of power. Right. So in the Black community, you have all these cisgender, like aggressive, angry kind of aggressions towards the LGBTQ community that are unwarranted, other than the fact that deep down, it just stems from a level of misogyny and sexism that gives them some sort of control, which is an illusion,
right?
Because they don't have it.
Right. And I just wanted to just interject that cisgender means that you identify with the genitalia that you were born with. So for anyone that's unfamiliar with that term.
We're going to take just a quick break to tell you about a cool new product that Scott and I discovered. And we'll get back to our guest's amazing Only One story in just a minute.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah, that's deep. All of that is deep. And again, it's something, you know, as a Black female who grew up here in America, and I know you grew up in different places because you were a Navy brat. Is that what they call it?
I was an Air Force brat.
Oh,
yeah.
Air Force brat. Sorry, sorry. And I
my brother is in the Navy, okay. So I am kind of a Navy brat now.
But were you born on a base in Germany? Is that correct?
You know what? I was born off base in Germany, okay. But I am fully worldly cultured. I'm so grateful that I had that experience.
Yes. Well, I think that's really important, especially for your point of view. But from my point of view, all the fight for Black people in this country included everyone. It would never have occurred to me that members of the queer community wouldn't have been included in what we were doing. And honestly, I knew very little about it until recently, which to me says that it needs more attention.
because I read a lot and I write and I get a lot of feedback, and I didn't know much about this. And, you know, 2 weeks ago we had those two black trans women, Rhea Milton and Dominique Remy Fells. They were murdered, sparking these new calls to end transphobia and violence against members of the trans community. You know, I don't know.
The thing is, I just said this too the other day. I feel like James Baldwin sometimes because, and
love
that, first of all, like a way to toot my own horn.
Right.
But what the reality is that it feels like I read one of his biographies, and he just didn't have any sort of identity. He didn't have a place to go because what he called home was a place where they called him black, and which was based off this idea of whiteness. But within the black community, he was not allowed to be himself because of his queerness. Mm-hmm. And that was because of, you know, what they called God, their Christianity, which again came from a place of pain. I mean, if you think about Negro spirituals and everything, religion in itself, Catholicism and the history of the way Africans, they very much, like in a very stealthy way, allowed for themselves to conform while keeping their own religion within Catholicism and within Christianity. So you have like the Saint Mary, you know, that was seen as another, like Saint Martha, the Dominator, like all of these small things that they had, this language that they kept because they wanted to keep their own religion, that kind of got lost in translation. And so you have this idea of Christianity and this idea of heteronormative, non-inclusive kind of love, this kind of acceptance. And it really does, because it's coming from God, right?
Yeah.
That supersedes anything else. So if you are black and but you are a homosexual or you are trans, you are not even seen in the community. You can't even, your life doesn't matter because you're an abomination to God himself.
Right.
And so, that is pretty difficult, which is why James Baldwin was like, fuck this, I'm going to Paris.
Right.
And he went with Nina Simone. You know what I mean? Like, he's just like, what are we going to do? Like, y'all don't want me. I'm going to go over here. You say what you want. And it just is really sad, because if you look at the rates of how many men are on the down low in our community, and so much shame around sex. Mm-hmm. I grew up in, well, my family, my extended family, there's a lot of Southern Gothic sexual abuse that is passed down because nobody talks about any of these things, because they're just, there's so much shame and guilt, and no one's able to actually love the way they're supposed to. And this is something that did not exist before.
Right.
And I don't understand personally how we can accept some things about white supremacy and then deny them. Because here's the reality. If we're gonna take away everything, we would have to take away the religion. And people aren't ready to hear that, because the term Sunday's best, that comes from slave owners literally parading around slaves, dressing them up nice, taking them to church.
Oh.
Like, that's huge.
That's terrible.
Like, it's terrible. Yeah. But here we are, and we're just doing it. We're just following it. But that's like, people don't want to hear stuff like that. And I feel like James Baldwin in this way, because I'm like, he tried to say that as well, and no one was ready to be on board yet. You know, and I feel like sometimes I was born a little too early, you know, because I don't know if people are ready for this, because there's so many things that have to happen to dismantle, so many little things that must be done in order to actually dismantle all of it. But I don't know if people are willing to get rid of, because they don't know. It's the unknown, right?
Right. Well, and what I think I hear you saying is, like, when a person whose life is based in Christianity, whether they are practicing or not, sees you, they see a threat. They're threatened, not by you specifically, but by a black queer person.
Mm-hmm.
They see a threat, and so they want to justify it then with their religion. Because this exactly. is, right? So this is the justification for it, but you are a threat. The threat comes first, right? I'm just going to quote Billy Porter again, because I love this quote of his. He said that we move about our day sucking it up, hiding our pain and terror from the world, trying to make ourselves small so white and straight people can feel comfortable. Do you identify with that?
I think there was a part of me that absolutely identified with that when I was growing up. I used to change my voice. Like, I have my straight voice. Even within
what,
the
what
community.
What voice are we hearing now?
Right now, you're just hearing me.
Okay.
But if I did my straight, I remember I would have to do the thing where I'd be like, oh, hey, what's up? How's it going?
Ah,
oh, hey.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm good.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. I would talk like this, and I would have this voice where I would make sure that everything was particular, you know what I mean? And
there was no inflection.
There was no inflection
right,
at all.
Right.
I wasn't passionate.
Yeah.
And I hate that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
I spent so much time doing that and trying to dim this light. But here's the other reality. It wasn't until I actually started showing up for real for myself that mm-hmm. anything ever happened for me. So there's that too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't necessarily believe in the idea that anyone should be making themselves small to solve the problem. In
right.
fact, I think you have to live louder, or else no one's ever going to talk about it.
Mm.
You know, we're not going to have these moments where people are actually saying, hey, we need to shine a light on this.
Right.
If everyone's just kind of making themselves small and not trying to walking on eggshells,
mm-hmm.
you know, I believe in conflict. I welcome now, not in a way where I'm like, oh, I want to fight, but in a way where I love myself enough to stand up for what I believe in.
Mm. Well, I love that. And we're coming toward the end. I have a few more questions. I want to see if I can get the really important ones in. I don't know. Could you explain to me why is there a divide between Black people and the white members of the queer community?
It's the same kind of a microaggression that we see within Black men mm-hmm. and the gay community.
Okay.
It's this idea of, well, at least I am not that, and I have some sort of control.
It's a better than,
you know,
kind of thing.
It's a better than. It's
yeah.
the whole idea of like the indentured servant and the slave. Like, well, at least I'm white, but you're still an indentured servant. Like,
right.
they don't see you as white. You're still a slave with us.
Yeah.
You're not getting paid, and they're whipping you.
Mm-hmm.
In the white community, it's the same thing, except they are white. But the problem is that a lot of them refuse to acknowledge that privilege
mm-hmm.
Up until now. And it was a little bit dangerous because that kind of covert racism was hard and tricky because you had people that were like, well, I'm oppressed, so you can't say that I'm doing anything bad.
Right.
And it was kind of awful because it denied the reality of racism within the community. Because
yeah.
people being like sexual racism and in the form of, oh, no, it's just my preference that I don't like an entire race of people.
Mm.
Excuse me?
Yeah.
That's a problem.
That is a huge problem.
And why, though? Like, but we never see minorities in the media unless they are some sort of stereotype, whereas white people literally take up all of the media in every capacity.
Mm.
You know, that is what is beautiful.
Yeah. Again, reminds me of the divide in the women's movement between Black and white women, which it just feels for a lot of the Black women that I've spoken with, we feel like we're not included in this come up that's happening, that we aren't thought of, and that there's a unification until it's about fighting for Black women to have equal pay to white women. And then it's like, oh, we all got to figure that out. we're trying to get our own come up here. So, and again, I'm generalizing. It's certainly not all, but in general, the movement, we don't feel as included in it as other women and even non-white women. Asian and Hispanic
mm-hmm.
women seem to come first. Do you feel like it's like that? Is it Black people or all POC that experience this prejudice within the queer community?
Unfortunately, it's everyone but white, surprisingly. It's interesting because these laws, this kind of hatred towards the LGBTQ community came from, it was a derivative of an Anglo-Saxon sort of rigidity against it. Whereas everyone else around the world was like, oh, no, we literally worship and love everyone in our, and in fact, some in ancient Egypt, like our gods are seen as having like two sets of the genitalia because there is no gender, you know, the trans lives, they actually do matter. And then the Anglo-Saxon came and they're like, oh, no, that you're a savage. And now you see within the community, especially, well, here in America, it's the white people who actually are more on board with this idea of being very liberal and accepting trans lives. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm here in the desert here in California. Yeah. And let me tell you, if you get on any of those apps on like Grindr or anything, mm-hmm. trans women are literally the most sought out because they're just like, we love them. They really? Are beautiful. Yes. Wow. And I am here for it. I mean, unfortunately, it's not, they're all mostly white. Mm. But for me, it's actually good to see. And the problem, though, with that, though, sometimes can be they are also fetishized as well. So you have to,
right.
That is always a problem because people love them as sexual objects.
Right.
And that's not real love. You don't, that's not how you accept people. Mm. But then that goes, you know, in a deeper level with our entire nation's response and education of sex.
Mm-hmm. Two more questions. So Pride is supposed to be a celebration of the LGBTQ plus community, right? You're celebrating yourselves. We can celebrate you, the allies, yeah. In your community. And Scotty and I recently found out that we are members of the LGBTQ plus community because the A, which comes later, can also stand for ally. Mm-hmm. So we consider ourselves to be allies so that we can celebrate what it means to be queer in wherever we are, that the Pride Month, Pride parades, those are opportunities for that. However, mm-hmm. from what I understand, the Pride celebration, at least here in Los Angeles, has been kind of de-blacking itself over the years. Do you think that Pride has sold its soul?
To be perfectly honest, I have never experienced a Pride parade better than New York City.
Yeah.
Because New York City, they shut it down. Mm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they come in from everywhere. If you're in the city, you're going to that parade. And you're all going to be on the train and like they're coming from all over and everyone's going to go until the very end. Unfortunately, Los Angeles is a city that it's so segregated that it's impossible to actually have the kind of diversity that is necessary to ever feel inclusive. I'm looking for elevation and evolution in Pride. For me, last year I was on a float. The first time that I was ever on a float. Mm. And I was waving out. I was on this float with my friends. And, you know, I have mainly white gay friends because it's, you know, proximity.
Yeah.
And I remember looking out. I had my drag makeup on and I was waving to everyone. The music was playing. I was dancing. And I was just saying, like, yes, live your best life. And I never felt more empty.
Mm.
I never felt that alone. And I did not feel comfortable at all because I wasn't proud.
Wow.
You know, I was ashamed.
Yeah.
This was a time in which I found myself being kind of gaslit when it came to social issues like Black Lives Matter, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. I'm so sad that you had that experience and that you felt shame instead of pride, and an event that is called Pride, you know, it's exactly for the opposite reason, or that was the intention. Last question.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what we can do to create safer spaces for our Black, queer brothers, sisters, and non-gender conforming community members?
I think that it's important to educate yourself. You know, all of these things about our history and where we come from. I think education and really just making sure that you're a sounding board for all of the queer Black communities that you know, and the donating to, I mean, for example, Los Angeles LGBTQ, that center is amazing. They have so many resources for trans people and the our community in general. Like the clinic, it's free, like so many things. Homelessness they take care of. Like there's the rate of LGBTQ homelessness is so high. And this makes sense because if you have adverse childhood trauma and that is not dealt with, and it's hard to deal with and heal trauma when it's ongoing, you're going to be at risk for health risk in general. It's scientifically proven. You're going to have addiction problems. You're probably going to have liver failure, cancer, homelessness, all of these things that we think is just a mental thing. It's actually affecting our health.
Right. Wow. Well, I think to have a place to donate, to ask questions, to get resources, to educate yourself, that is a really good start then for people to be able to contact them. We cannot try to make this world a safer place, not this world, but America a safer place for Black and brown people and forget the members of the LGBTQ plus community who are dying, who are hunted, who are ostracized, who are excluded. So I would very much encourage people to seek out and like you said, educate yourself. Education is so powerful. And once you've seen these things, as Scotty says, you can't unsee them. And once you can't unsee them, then you will act differently. You must. So I hope if one person listening to this, that they call and educate themselves a little bit more, I will be very happy. Honey, did you have any questions?
No, I just wanted to thank Travis for coming on. I think this is a really misunderstood situation. And it's complex, and I think it needs a focused voice, and I appreciate you taking the time to bring me in on how I can better be a part of the solution.
We can better be allies.
Yeah,
Travis, you know, we just love you, and I value your voice, and I admire you, and like I said, I just love you, and I'm so glad that you came on. Thank you.
I wanted to just say thank you, especially because it's 2 days before Father's Day. Yes. And I want to acknowledge that my father, he died a year ago in a house fire. He died in the house in North Carolina that burned, the house where he learned pain, where he was abused. And he was in the closet his entire life, in and out, because he was told that he was less than because of his sexuality. And I actually thought that it was him not able to live to his full potential. But I realized last night that he actually did, you know, he did when they say the best that he could, he had no resources, no sort of example of what it is to be a man and be queer and to live and thrive and be successful. And he did that on his own and became his own hero so that I could never have to know the horrors that he did. And I think that that's so important for me. And I'm like, I'm ignited by that flame.
Man, I cannot believe that was a year ago.
Me either. Yeah.
And I, you know, I am so sorry for your loss, but I love what you just said. And for a situation like that, for you to have that kind of compassion and find it for your father and have it ignite you is a beautiful thing. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And thank you, Travis.
Thank you, Travis.
Thank you for listening to The Only One in the Room. Please join us each Tuesday and Sunday for an incredible brand new Only One interview. And every Friday for On My Nightstand, where I'll be reading something that I love. If you have an Only One story you'd like to share or a piece of writing you'd like to submit, please send it to theonlyonepod@gmail.com. From all of us at The Only One in the Room, we wish you dopeness, health, and prosperity.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Get inspired while learning all about the unique planes of existence. Get the in-depth knowledge you need to help your combat encounters feel impactful, or learn about the origins and pantheons of every race and class the game offers. No stone is left unturned as every edition of the game is explored and explained in a way that benefits players of all different levels of experience. You can expand your TTRPG horizons in a way that's as entertaining as it is educational just by listening. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcast app or YouTube and search for The Dungeon Cast.